The portion of Scripture for our meditation this evening is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 14, beginning with the 22nd verse. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, take it. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink it again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." This is the word of the Lord. Your friends in Christ, the time was coming. Jesus had just a few hours left with his disciples. Although they had no idea what was going on at the time, as we will see on Easter, Jesus knew what was about to happen. In a matter of hours, he was going to be betrayed and arrested. And from that time on, only a few choice words to John and a glance at Peter would be the only communication he had with his disciples. So he got together with his disciples one last time to teach them and encourage them. Get together in the upper room and enjoy a meal with them without any distractions. Now it was Thursday night of Holy Week for us. But for the Jew, whose day consisted from sundown to sundown, once the sun went down that Thursday, it became the 15th of Nisan, a holy day for the Israelites, otherwise known as the day of the Passover. This was a day the Jews were to commemorate for generations to come. You may remember the Passover. It tied in with the 10th plague, the plague of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn. God said that he was going to go throughout the land and kill the firstborn male of everything living unless they took a lamb, and it took some of its blood and painted its blood on the doorposts. That night, when the angel of the Lord went throughout all of Egypt, killing all the firstborn, he would pass over the houses of those that had the blood of the lamb. He would not kill the firstborn living there. It is through this 10th plague and the Passover that Jesus saved his people. It led Pharaoh to allow the Israelites to leave. God saved his people from slavery and oppression and brought the world's superpower to their knees. And so, they were supposed to celebrate this meal as a festive occasion for years to come. As a way to remember God's grace and mercy in saving them. As a way to remember how God saved them from slavery. Now, since Christ is the fulfillment of the Passover, he is a Passover lamb who shed his blood to save us, we no longer have to follow the Passover. Now, it's a shadow to point us to the reality. It's a shadow to point us to Christ. And yet, as the Jews ate that meal to remember God's grace, we do well to do the same. We do well because it's the same grace that caused God to save the Israelites. They didn't deserve to be saved. And neither do we deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be saved from the slavery to sin. And yet, by God's grace, he did so. Now it was this Passover meal, this Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples when he instituted what we now call the Lord's Supper, or Holy Communion. You know the words well. You hear them at least twice a month. The words that are printed in the hymnal are really a harmony of all four accounts of the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this when you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, a Passover meal that Jesus and the disciples were eating at that time consisted of lamb. A one-year-old male lamb without blemish or defect, roasted over a fire. They also ate unleavened bread, made without yeast, with bitter herbs on the bread to remind the people of the bitter suffering that they experienced as slaves in Egypt. Now, by the time of Jesus, many of the Jews, or most of the Jews, would have partaken the what we call the Passover Seder, a Seder meal that included scripture readings and explanations of why they were eating what they were eating. It had some other food as well, including multiple glasses of wine, most likely diluted with water. This is what Jesus took. The unleavened bread made without yeast, the cup of grape wine. That's what he used to institute his Lord's Supper. He said, this is my body. And then he took the cup with the grape wine and he said, this is my blood. And then he told the disciples, do this in remembrance of me. Well, do what? Do this. What's this? Well, the taking and the giving of the bread and eating it. The taking, the giving, and the drinking of the wine. The saying the words that Jesus said, do this, do what I'm doing. And so that's what we do in the Lord's Supper. Those are the earthly elements, the unleavened bread, the grape wine. But what do we receive in the Lord's Supper? Well, we receive Christ's true body and blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine. That's what Jesus meant when he said, this is my body, this is my blood. All four are present in the Lord's Supper. The bread and the wine are physically present. The body and the blood are spiritually present. Paul makes it abundantly clear in 1 Corinthians 10 that we receive all four because all four are truly present. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? So in the Lord's Supper, we receive the very thing that Christ gave up and shed on the cross. We receive his true body and blood. So that means we receive the forgiveness of sin. That's why Matthew can say what he says when Jesus said, this is for the forgiveness of sins. Now in our text for today, in Mark says about the blood, this is my blood of the covenant. Both Luke and Paul include new in there. So this is my blood of the new covenant. Now as we talked about a few weeks ago, new as opposed to old. The old covenant, the covenant given through Moses on Mount Sinai, demanded perfect obedience or punishment. The new covenant, ushered by Christ's death on the cross, is the new agreement God makes with his people, that we don't have to obey God's commands to be saved because Jesus kept God's law perfectly for us and gave us his perfect obedience. The new agreement is that we are forgiven through faith in Christ. So in the Lord's Supper, when we receive the new covenant, we are receiving what the new covenant is, the forgiveness of sin. What's the big deal about communion, you might say? After all, aren't we forgiven by Christ's suffering and death on the cross? Weren't our sins washed away through the waters of baptism? What is the big deal about the Lord's Supper? Each and every day we sin. numerous times, too numerous to count, we go against God's will and we deserve his wrath and punishment. And Satan is not going to let us forget about it. He wants us to despair in our sins, to doubt God's love for us. He says, you call yourself a Christian? Look at all the horrible and wicked things you have done. Sure, people commit horrible acts all the time, but they don't claim to be Christian as you do. And look at all the things you are doing. You expect God to actually forgive you? You expect God to actually love you and take away your sins? It's like a woman who needs to be told, I love you. She knows it, but she still likes to hear it. She likes to be reassured. We too need that reassurance that we are forgiven. And that is what we receive in the Lord's Supper. Reassurance that God has forgiven us, but more than just reassurance. But we receive the forgiveness of sins itself. The Lord's Supper. We eat and we drink Christ's body and blood, the very thing that gives us the forgiveness of sins. And this is for you, Jesus said. My body and blood is for you. The body and blood that I shed on the cross is for you. This forgiveness of sins, this new covenant, is for you. Here in the Lord's Supper, we receive a tangible forgiveness, that we can eat and we can taste what Christ gave up to save us from all our sins. And then in verse 25 of our text, from which our theme for today comes, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. I will not drink again the fruit of the vine until I drink that day, until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Here Jesus is saying that he's not going to drink that wine again until he is in his Father's kingdom. Jesus is pointing us ahead. He points us to the future, into a bigger and greater meal. One that we will enjoy in heaven. And that's another reason why we partake of the sacrament. Another reason that Jesus gave us his Holy Supper. Because not only does he give us the forgiveness of sins, but he also strengthens our faith in him. And we know that through faith we will join him in heaven forever. And there in heaven, we will partake of that heavenly banquet. In Revelation 19, an angel refers to this banquet when he says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. So the Lord's Supper then points us to this heavenly supper, this heavenly banquet that we will enjoy with our Savior forever. In the prayer, after we receive Christ's body and blood in the sacrament, in the orders of service, divine service too, that we use in the supplement sometimes, we pray in part, we give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in the sacrament. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb. We don't know exactly what's going to be at this banquet. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. It won't be like anything we have ever experienced on this earth. But we do know that it's ours. Because of the blood that Christ shed on the cross, because of the forgiveness of sins that he gives us in this sacrament, we know that that heavenly banquet is one that we will enjoy with our Savior forever. Tonight, we receive just a small foretaste of what awaits us in heaven. A far better, a far superior meal. Because Christ won't just be present spiritually. but we will be with Christ physically. We will see Him face to face. We will dine with Him forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated as we gather the offering.